Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, changemakers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by the Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable child care in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. And nearly 700 VBSR business members who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Learn more at www.vbsr.org. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Bess O'Brien is an award-winning filmmaker whose work has had a far-reaching impact on raising awareness about vulnerable people and social justice. Her recent film, The Hungry Heart, about the prescription drug crisis in Vermont, became a catalyst for opiate addiction awareness and impacted drug policy throughout the state. Her film, All of Me, a feature-length documentary focused on the lives of women, girls, and some boys who struggle with eating disorders, was seen in many schools around the state. Her latest film is Coming Home, a documentary focused on five people returning to their Vermont communities from prison. She's currently producing The Listen Up Project, an original musical based on the lives of Vermont teens that will be touring the state in 2020. She is the founder of Kingdom County Productions with her husband, filmmaker Jay Craven. Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin has said, quote, "Every state in the union should be so lucky to have Bess O'Brien working for them in support of children and families." Bess O'Brien, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks a lot, David.
So let's talk about go back a little bit in time. We'll get to your current film, Coming Home. But I first want to go back to, many people will remember the impact that The Hungry Heart made. I remember watching it in Montpelier High School. It profiled a pediatrician in St. Albans, Fred Holmes. And what he began to see, much to his surprise, young adults coming back who had been his patients as children, addicted to opiates. What even alerted you to this problem and to this one doctor in St. Albans, Vermont?
So I actually, ironically, had made a film in 2002 about the heroin epidemic in Vermont, because believe it or not, there was a heroin epidemic in the new millennium. And it was called Here Today. And I focused primarily on families in the Northeast Kingdom. I made that film. We toured it all over the state. The heroin addiction problem sort of swelled and sort of abated a little bit. We raised a lot of consciousness during that time, and I learned a lot about opiate addiction and heroin addiction through that film. You know, that was the early 2000s. I went on and made other projects. I did other things. And then in like 2011 or 12, I got a phone call from Fred Holmes, who said, I hear you make documentary films. I've been working with young people in my practice up in St. Albans who are addicted to prescription painkillers, and I really want somebody to tell their stories. Can we meet? And essentially I was like, yeah, sure. So I drove up over to St. Albans, and Fred and I met. And of course, the minute I met Fred, I was like, oh my God, this guy is fantastic. I mean, he's just such a character. He's so charismatic. I just knew he would be a great catalyst for the film and a great storyteller. And he was really into it. And of course, what filmmakers look for, no matter what documentary you make, you need somebody to get you into that world and to introduce you to the people who are in that world, whether it's introducing you to people in recovery or introducing you to people who are dealing with eating disorders or people coming out of prison, whatever the movie is and the issue, you need somebody to be your guide into that world. And I knew that Fred would really help me with that because he was completely open to us hanging out at his office, his, you know, in his pediatricians, with him, with his patients. And so he gave us incredible access. So, yeah, so that's how it started. Fred essentially contacted me and I went up there and we met with a lot of his patients and said, we're thinking about making this movie. Would you be on board? Would you be willing to speak to me and be in the movie? And lots of people said, yes, yes, we want our voices heard. And so that's what made the whole thing happen.
So in many of your films, so that's the story of one film. How do you decide on your topics? The one about eating disorders. It's a big deal to make a feature length film. Yeah. You invest an enormous amount of resources and time into this. So how do you decide what's going to be worthy of that?
Well, frankly, a lot of it is people coming. I mean, I cannot tell you, frankly, how many people come up probably weekly and say, you should make a movie about this, or I've got an issue that you've got to deal with, or my sister's, you know, struggling with this issue. Can you please make a movie about it? So having issues to make documentary films about is no problem. I mean, if I had all the money in the world, I'd probably be making three movies at a time. So, you know, I hear a lot of that. Many times I'm in the middle of making a movie. So I'm like, well, I can't make a movie right now because I'm already making a film. But for instance, for the film All of Me about body image and eating disorders, that came from a father who came to The Hungry Heart, which was the film I made before that. He came to a screening and waited for me afterwards and said, you know, I don't know what your next movie is, but my daughter's been dealing with an eating disorder for 10 years of her life, and it's just a horrible thing, and it's so impactful on families, and we're just not talking about this, and, you know, would you be interested in even thinking about this? And it just sparked an interest. I mean, I don't even know what it is. I just sort of said, that's interesting. And then I said, well, do you know somebody who I could talk to who could sort of get me into that world? And he said, yes, I know this woman, Bree Greenberg Benjamin, who runs a clinic in Burlington. And so I met with Bree and she said she'd be in the movie, sort of like the same thing with Fred. She ran this clinic and she said, I could introduce you to patients and I think that they would talk to you. So, you know, I start to just get interested and then I just start going down the rabbit hole. My last film, Coming Home, which was about five people coming out of prison and going through this really innovative restorative justice program called COSA, that actually came to me through Derek Myodevnik, who runs the restorative justice program out of Department of Corrections. And he called me up one day and said, I'd really like you to make a movie about this program that we have. Would you be interested in it? And so I met with him. I'd never heard about this program. It sounded really, really cool. He had a grant. It's always nice when somebody comes to you with money. So in this case, he was like, I think that we can fund most of the production of the film. And the more he told me about the program and the more we talked about how we would make it, it just perked my interest and I decided to do it.
You tell the story in Coming Home of five people coming out of prison. Tell us one story that really stands out to you that sort of captures the dilemma of people trying to reenter their communities after prison.
Well, I mean, I think one of the stories is this guy, Mark, who had been in and out of prison for pretty much all his life, a long time. He's probably in the movie, he's probably 45, maybe close to 50. And he finally comes out back into St. Johnsbury and he's had a life of addiction, anger issues, you know, falling in with the wrong crowd, so on and so forth. And he comes out and one of the big challenges for anybody coming out of prison is, you know, how am I going to get a job? How am I going to get housing? How am I going to keep clean? And following his story in the film really, I think, captures the idea of having this COSA team, Circle of Support and Accountability, which are essentially local volunteers who sit with you and meet with you once a week for a year and just help you with whatever it could be that week that you're challenged with, and become your friends and support you. By having that team around him, he actually did turn his life around, excel, and move through the world in a totally different way than he might have if he didn't have that team of people. So that was really exciting as a filmmaker to see that arc of movement from sort of somebody who had had a really difficult life of staying out of prison and this time really making go of it.
One of the things that is so striking about your films that I find is the intimacy that you have with the subjects. We are literally brought into the rooms in The Hungry Heart. We are brought into a doctor's office with just a doctor and a patient. With All of Me, you have these teenage girls who are struggling with body image. You're alone with them. They are sharing their innermost shame and whatnot with you. How do you get that level of trust so that people will open up to you?
You know, people ask me that all the time. And part of me is like, I don't really know. I guess what I would say is, first of all, I think people really want to tell their story. I think that we often think that people, especially the people that I'm dealing with, which are often folks that are marginalized, invisible, we sort of shuck them off to the side. We don't want to deal with them in our society. We don't actually really want to spend time with them hearing their story because they're bad people or they're sad people or they're people who make us uncomfortable. So when somebody comes and says, you know, I really want to sit down with you for an hour and a half and I want to hear what you have to say, I think those people are like, yeah, okay, I'm up for that. So I think that's number one. I think number two, obviously, I mean, it is sort of a magical thing because most of the time I am, you know, emailing some person that somebody suggested I should call or contact. And I'm emailing them out of the blue and I'm saying, hi, I'm Bess O'Brien. I'm a documentary filmmaker. I'm making this movie about such and such. Would you like to be in it? They have to make the initial step towards yes. They say yes. And then I say, where do you live? Oh, I live in, you know, Hardwick on a dirt road in the back of da-da-da. Here are the directions. I drive out there with my cinematographer. We walk into this house. I've never met this person before. They've never met me. We set up the lights and camera in their living room. We sort of chit-chat, you know, about the weather and how many kids you have. And then we sit down and with an hour and a half, all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, your heroin addiction or, yeah, how you almost died from anorexia or the fact that you've lived your entire life breaking the law and now you're trying to make a go of it and the challenges and struggles. And it's sort of amazing how people go there. Obviously, you have to create a sense of trust and safety in those moments. I don't know quite how I do that. Maybe it's just an innate sense that I have. I don't know. The number one thing is you cannot have an ounce of judgment going into it or during the entire interview, which I think I'm pretty good at. Because the minute that anybody feels like your expectations are different than theirs or you're sort of second guessing them or judging them, they will shut down, as anybody would, especially with a stranger. So you have to create a space where you're curious and you really are listening in a way that makes them feel empowered to find their voice. And so that's imperative. The other thing I say to a lot of young people who are interested in documentary filmmaking is, I think there's a tendency sometime to, you know, like write down all the questions, A, B, C, D, like, how old are you? What are you doing? Da, da, da. And I usually at the beginning of a film sort of brainstorm on a piece of paper like 30 different themes or questions that I'm interested in talking about, but I never use them. I usually just start the conversation and just let the person take me where they want to take me. And a lot of it is just curiosity. Like somebody will be taking me down this road and I'll just say, really, what's that about? Da, 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 da. And, you know, you're an interviewer. What you want, frankly, is people taking you down those roads that you never anticipated and that are really interesting and bringing something to the table that you didn't know about. Right. So I don't know. It's one of my favorite thing in the whole process of making documentary film is the interview process. I really love it. Then the challenge is that, you know, you interview 30 people and you've got, you know, 65 hours of footage, and then you have to log it all, listen to it all, and create an hour and a half documentary from it. So that's like, that is hard to do after you, you know, record all that material. But other than that, I love interviewing people. It's wonderful. And I feel so privileged to be able to be brought into these people's lives and for them to open up and tell me their stories.
Well, you're very good at it. And you also described, yes, the secret sauce of the Vermont conversation. People always say, what are the questions? And I always say, it's a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I say when I sit down with these people, because first of all, they are nervous. Why wouldn't they be? There's, you know, lights in their face and the camera's on them and they don't know who I am. And I say, this is not an interview. It's not like Barbara Walters. We're not on CNN. You know, this is a conversation. We're just going to sit down and have a conversation. And that sort of calms them down a little bit.
So we've talked about how you get people to open up about things that they are often not proud of. Have you ever sort of screwed it up where something you've done, you've seen, has resulted in somebody saying, I don't want to talk to you?
Well, the first thing I say at the beginning of the interview is we're just going to have a conversation. But if there is something that I ask you that you don't feel comfortable answering, you don't have to answer. So that it gives, I think, people a bit of an out. And certainly there have been a few times here or there when I've been asking people something and they're like, I don't feel comfortable answering that. And I'm like, fine, let's move on. So I try not to make a big deal out of it. I don't think there's been a time where anybody has to like just shut down and said, that's it, I don't want to talk anymore. I think that you try to just keep the conversation going. If they don't want to go down that alleyway, then you circle around and you're going down another alleyway.
So, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're spending the hour this week with award-winning documentary filmmaker Bess O'Brien. Vermont is the backdrop for many, if I don't know if it's all your films, but most of the recent ones. Mm-hmm. What do you think that brings to it? Vermont, as we all know, is not everywhere. It has its limitations as a model for what's going on in the world, but you have made it into a very powerful backdrop for storytelling. What is it special about Vermont that enables you to do that, that you want to do that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. One is I think that, for one thing, it focuses on rural people. And I often find that all of these issues, you want to talk about heroin addiction, you want to talk about foster care, you want to talk about eating disorders, you want to talk about prison issues, recovery, whatever it is, all these issues are not just Vermont issues, they're universal issues, right? You could go to every single state, you could make a movie in every single state. There have been plenty of other movies made about every single one of these issues. I'm not the only one making films about these particular issues. I find a lot in the media at large that many of these stories tend to come out of urban areas, which is fine. But I think that it's very important to tell stories that come out of rural areas, because we often think, you know, oh, crime, oh, addiction, kids getting into trouble. That's all inner city stuff. You know, that's L.A., that's New York, that's wherever. No, 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 no. I definitely think that the opiate epidemic has sort of heightened that, because not only The Hungry Heart, but there's been other films and so much media now about the fact that this is an issue that has struck across the country in every state and in a lot of rural states. So I think that's one thing. I'm proud to be able to shine a light on things that happen in rural areas and the particular challenges that rural areas have, which is transportation and not a lot of money sometimes and poverty that looks different than urban poverty. I also think for Vermont audiences watching my films, I think part of the power, hopefully, is that these are people who live in their neighborhood. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people who watched The Hungry Heart or watched my other films come up to me and say, wow, I know that person in your movie. I've seen them in the grocery store or at the doctor's office, or they're my bank teller, and I never knew that about them. And so it brings an intimacy to the stories. And it also creates a sense like this is not just happening out there, which is, I think, another thing that Vermont tends to think, like, we're perfect, you know, not everybody, but there's a sense of like, how could possibly anything go wrong in Vermont, right? We, you know, we're progressive to state. We have Ben and Jerry's. We have the Green Mountain Boys. And I think, frankly, the opiate epidemic was one of the things that blew the top off of that, because not only The Hungry Heart, but the governor's State of the State, where he highlighted the opiate epidemic and actually also highlighted the movie, sort of actually made the New York Times, CBS, all these major outlets showed up the next day in Vermont and said, what the hell's going on here? You know, how can you guys have a opiate epidemic? Like, I thought you guys were the perfect state. So I think, you know, shining a light on these things helps people out in the world, but also very close to home, not be able to get away with thinking that this doesn't happen in their backyard, because it is. And it connects them to their community in a way that hopefully brings some empathy to these issues.
So The Hungry Heart focuses on half a dozen or so people struggling with opiate addiction. I forget how many. Do you know, and we see them working their way through with Dr. Fred Holmes, you know, taking Suboxone, I don't know what you call it, substitute. Do you know their status today? Have they been able to stay clean, the people who you focused on?
Well, I keep in touch with some people in my films, some people, you know, because I've had a lot of people in my movies, dozens and dozens. I think, yes, I know that a number of the people in the movie are still doing really, really well. I know that a number of the people in the movie have died from opiate overdoses. I know a number of the people in the film who have sort of disappeared and gone away. I mean, one of the awesome things about making that movie was I was able to document Fred's last year of practice. So we end the film with Fred leaving his practice, which meant that all of his patients went on to other doctors. So he was able to follow some of those kids for a while and sort of know what was going on with them. But, you know, they went on to other doctors. They moved on to other towns. So, you know, yes, I am close to a number of the people in that movie that I've stayed in touch with, and they are doing really well. And then there are other people, unfortunately, who, you know, passed away.
Coming Home opens with the statistic that 2/3 of people who come out of prison reoffend and end up back in prison. The film came out last year. What do you know about your subjects in that film?
Well, that's all good news. All 5 people in that film are still doing really well. As you know, the film has some twists and turns and some bumps and, you know, things that come out of the blue. But all of those people are still out of prison. They're all working. They're all doing really well. They're all clean. So that is awesome. I'm really excited about that.
Do you hear back from the subjects of your films how being in a film changed them?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I mean, it has changed them. I get a lot of feedback around people who have been in the film. I mean, it's a very weird thing, right? I mean, it's like you say, yes, I want to tell my story. I come to your house. I do the interview. I go away. And then you frankly don't hear from me or don't know what's going on for like a year, because I'm finishing the movie. I'm editing the movie. And then one day you get an email from me saying, the film is premiering in Burlington. Come to the premiere. And then we're going to be touring it all over the state. Hope you can come and be part of the Q&As. So a year later, everybody, you know, the people are like, oh, okay, the movie finally got made. They show up. And I can see very clearly the people who are who connect to the movie as it tours around the state and are doing the Q&As, how empowered they get as they continue through the tour. Because not only is it there's something cathartic about telling your story to me, but then all of a sudden you're part of this bigger story. You're up on the screen. And then afterwards you have an audience that is wanting to know more and is looking to you, frankly, as an expert, and who, frankly, after they've seen the film, if I've done a good job, has some real empathy towards the subjects in the movie. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, one woman who was a heroin addict for many years and was in recovery came up to me after I made Here Today, my film about heroin addiction in the Northeast Kingdom, and said, you know, Beth, I never knew I was an expert at anything, but you know what? I'm an expert at knowing what it's like to be a heroin addict, and I can share that information, and people actually want to know about it. And so the idea is that I think it takes a lot of the shame that these people feel and flips it on its end. And says to these people, no, actually, your story is really important. And the fact that you have moved through this very difficult time in your life, come out the other end, are able to interact with the audience and help them understand is a very powerful thing. So I love it. That is definitely my favorite part of making the movies, is touring them with the people in the movie. And I fall in love with them all. And we have so much fun. And we go from this little town to that little town. And it's just great to see how they become ambassadors for change.
You're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're spending the hour this week with documentary filmmaker Bess O'Brien. We're going to take a short break for the news and be right back. Stay tuned. Mm-hmm.